of things. I don't put others on the table.
The system you have introduced in Hungary for different devotees to involve in Krishna consciousness.
Our membership.
I just want to, you can elaborate. For people like us working outside,
that's a long story.
How can we be more involved and feel satisfied as being being in a position to contribute to Srila Prabhupada's movement?
I guess without getting into all the details, but the main principle there is that because there's a structure that involves all levels of involvement, volunteers are people who come for maximum 5 years, and then they have to decide either they remain full-time devotees, or we just encourage them to either continue school or work outside. And then there's the full-time committed, you call them monks and so on, who make a lifetime commitment. And then there's what here we call a congregation, or devotees who are working. And out of those, we have really three levels. Initiated devotees who make regular, committed service, whether they're giving 50% of their income or they're coming and doing a day's service every day, but it's people you can depend on. And more or less that should be devotees who are initiated, that should be the requirement. People shouldn't be allowed to be initiated if they're not going to make a commitment to Krishna consciousness. And then there's the other people who you can't get a regular commitment from. They may chant 60 rounds, follow four regulated principles, and so on. And they may even be initiated, but you may give £10 one month, and you may give £100 another month. You may not see him for 3 months, and then you may move in the temple for a weekend, so you can never. So it's not something that you build an organization on, but obviously you encourage it. And then there's really just sympathizers, people who they show up on Janmashtami once a year or something like that. Or they may not even come, they just, send a check once a year for, who knows, Janmashtami or something like that. But everyone should be encouraged. In other words, it's not that one's high, one's low, one's better, one's different people, different commitment, and we accept them all. And so if there's a structure that's inclusive, then people have a place. When you don't have a structure, this structure is very well defined, this temple business. You join a temple, you stay, you chant Hare Krishna, and then 90% of them leave. But the problem is because they don't leave into another structured thing, although it's developing. I mean, in the UK it's developing. Although that structure isn't really necessarily defined or commonly accepted, therefore people feel unconnected, or it's not as comfortable, especially for people who've been full-time. For people who haven't been full-time engaged, it's sort of relatively all right. But devotees who know what it's like to be fully involved and then fully part of the mission, and then all of a sudden you're trying to find where do I fit in that mission. So, but that requires a structure, and I mean it's unforgivable in the sense that it's forgivable because it is, our society's still young. So establishing a society is a real difficult thing.
Like in Hungary, it's very well defined, but when you're in small centres like this, it's hard to find where you fit in because you've got your family commitments and there's a lot of energy that has to be put into helping the children, you know, understand Krishna consciousness. I mean, my Guru specifically told me that my service is to look after my daughter and just to focus on that most of the time and help my husband with whatever preaching activities he has. So it may be not so clearly defined, our commitments to the temples or a specific temple, because preaching is a vast field. So in terms of, like, say my husband, he's preaching a little bit in Leicester, he preaches a bit wherever devotees ask him to be involved. So it may be more like project work that he's involved in, but not on a regular, like, in the temple as such.
I try to see things in a structured, organized way, and there is such a thing as preaching outside of the institution, but it wasn't really Prabhupada's necessary formula, because disorganized anything remains disorganized. It isn't as fruitful and productive as when things are organized. But there are real complications with organized things, particularly organized religion. The worst things in the world happen because of organized religion. But still, when it's not organized, then it's like, it's not as good. It's not as good. So, like Prabhupada would say, Golia Mat. I mean, they're preaching, but because they're not coordinated and organized, it doesn't work as well. And there's certainly a lot of, you know, for all of the difficulties that ISKCON may have experienced, but because it's ISKCON and it stays an organization, it has that structure. It's like a fort, you know, whatever goes on, a fort still remains a fort. And it has really a lot of strength, integrity, and integrity, I should say. It's got a lot of strength and potency. So, or it's like swimming, you know, or swimming as opposed to being in a boat. This is a boat. You can swim across the ocean if you want, because you may say, well, you know, I don't know, there's mutiny on the Bounty or something like that, then it's safe. But, you know, it's a different world being swimming in just by yourself or being in a boat. So even there's mutiny going on, it's still better being in a boat than being just shark bait. And so that cooperative spirit, and once the cooperative spirit has momentum, it becomes very, very strong.
What would you say for, like, take my own example? I joined in Vrindavan, I was trained up there, I was serving there, and then I end up in the UK, where I was in Manchester, away from Manchester, and then I'm here.
You end up there, you went there. You went like helicoptered in or something like that, parachuted in.
I just find complete mismatch to my system. I haven't really come into terms with where I am. I do preaching. Every week I'm giving classes, online classes, and I'm helping the temple here in Leicester, sometimes go to Manchester. But because I've been full-time, that was the definition for me of devotional service, which is full-time. Yeah. The other commitment, I just don't know how to define myself or my commitment, where I fit in.
No, you know, there's... Krishna says, guna karma vibhagasaha. So, what someone's guna karma, and part of the difficulties that we've had in ISKCON is trying to keep everybody full time or convince everyone that they should be full time when they shouldn't be, because their natures are such that they need to live a certain degree of freedom, and even if they're grihasthas, because you can have still be full time grihastha. But still, you know, to be, like Prabhupada said, all right, if you want to be a grihastha, full-time grihastha, then, you know, you don't get a salary, you just get some basic maintenance, which is really basic, and if you have children, you get a little extra for the children, and what a temple can afford, that's what you live on. So it's a very dependent lifestyle. It's extremely, extremely brahminical, or you could say it's not even, but other varnas could also fit in there, but someone's very, very dependent, and that doesn't sit well with often many people, that, you know, your life and your is just determined by what the institution can give, and this institution right now is dependent upon donations. You know, if it comes, you eat. If it doesn't, you don't. And that's all right when you're a brahmachari, yeah. But when you got to think about a child, then it's a little more difficult. Well, you mean she may not eat or she may eat. So we shouldn't keep people, but rather we should see, just like Prabhupada always says, you know, gurus should recognize that age 25, that's it. You become a grihastha. Or you stay full-time brahmachari. And it shouldn't go. At 25 years is a very comfortable age. Devotees join at 20, they stay for 5 years, 6 years, 7, no more. Because at 27 you can go back to education, you can get a job easily, you can still learn profession, but you keep someone in from 20 to 35, 40, and then at 40, you know, either he explodes or you tell him, well, sorry, I think that you don't really fit in here. Then what do you do at 40 years old? You can still do it, but it's much more difficult. Much more, you know, getting a job at 40 or working on a career. And then you have to see how it is that I can actually integrate and continue in my service to the institution. Like I was telling him, the priority should be, especially for someone who's done full-time service, they're brainwashed for life. In other words, the psychology is, if you're not serving Prabhupada's mission, you're not going to be fulfilled. So because it's such a, you know, that's all Prabhupada talks about. You got to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So devotees have to feel that they're doing that. That means that they have to prioritize their life in such a way that, fine, I'm raising my family, I'm working, but still I'm doing the maximum that I can, even if it means I live in a simpler way, and I live in a more austere way. Tapo divya. So I'm doing my tapasya, even as a grihastha, like Sudama Vipra. And that's a real, you know, it's an important, and when devotees like that, they feel, yes, alright, fine. By my nature, I've had to do this. And when she grows up, then that's it. When she gets married, then, you know, don't get into becoming a full-time grandparents and just taking care of children. Then you have your opportunity again for full-time service. At that time, have enough so that, you know, you've got a house and some little pension that you can live off of, and then you continue doing service. And that's varnashram. Sometimes you have to, if you don't live out this other thing, of, well, I can't be fully dependent on the institution, then you have to wait. You can't have everything, you have to wait until then. And in the meantime, you do as much as you can. And that's why, because we're brainwashed that we have to be, cooperate on the GBC, temple president, etc. So it's important to be, whatever the structure is, whether you may be preaching in different places, that's fine. But it's organized. It's on the basis of a plan. It's not because I dreamt something up. And then that's why for young people it's much easier. That's what I've been telling him and his wife for an hour today. And that's what, because you can formulate your life. And the formula should be that the priority is Krishna consciousness. And then everything builds around that. So Sudama Vipra, he wouldn't go out and get a job. He'd starve, but he wouldn't get a job. So why? Because that's his integrity, that's his values. So as devotees, our values are, we'll chant Hare Krishna, we'll serve Prabhupada's mission in a particular way, and our goal is to advance on the path of pure devotional service. And we're not going to compromise that. So I told him, I'm not going to compromise it for a career. I'm not going to compromise for any ideal or any pressure. That's our main priority. And then you have to see in the long term, you have to see what's going to happen in your whole life. So 10 years was there in Vrindavan, and you know, 10, 20 years here, and then who knows. So it's, you know, Prabhupada from mid-20s all the way up until, you know, when we first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all the way until 19. So Prabhupada got 1924, we got initiated. And then all the way up until 1965, 40 years. But in the overall picture, it was very productive. I have to be patient.
We have some questions. She chanted her rounds today. She chants two rounds, sometimes four.
She told me four.
Four. No compromise.
She does two.
I told her you were coming, so she did.
She did four in Kartik, Mara. Sometimes she slips to two.
That's good. Anyway, that's still good. Ready?
Yes.
Okay, a couple of minutes. Okay, you had what, one question? You had a question?
Yeah, a couple. I think when I wrote in my letter, just about how to, in my studies, remain Krishna conscious in the sense that I'm doing my studies for Krishna.
How are you doing them for Krishna?
Well, I mean, ultimately, I want to use psychology or, you know, maybe psychotherapy or something in Krishna consciousness, whether I can, I mean, do you see a possibility in that?
There's certainly a need. There's one need because younger generations are so disturbed in their emotional family life that they come with such baggage.
I found that Krishna consciousness is the solution to all physical, emotional.
The problem is most people many people are already so disturbed that they can't really take the Krishna consciousness because they've got all this these things to clear out of the way. There's just so yes, there's value in that whether you'll do it or not. In a very practical way, I would say that until you can dovetail what you're doing with Krishna consciousness, don't depend on it so much being for Krishna consciousness. Your real Krishna consciousness is in your bead bag, and setting a sadhana for yourself in the morning so that you have a spiritual basis for the day. That's what will help you advance. And then if it turns out that later, I mean, if you go out in a, you know, workplace out there and you work there, that's not really going to connect much with Krishna consciousness. The only way it may connect is if you give your income to Krishna. This other thing, that I see there's a definite need. What to speak of in for helping the youth come, but we've got so many social problems. We've got marriage problems. We need professional marriage counselors. We need
conflicts.
You know, there's conflict resolution between people. We need help youth just actually resolve so much of the problems that they already see in their own families. And that, I think, as the need becomes defined in our society, then devotees can do, we have that type of qualification, that type of service, volunteer service, both for full-time devotees, congregation. You can't practice Krishna consciousness if your mind's too disturbed. And many people are very, very disturbed. And it's also not the business of sadhus to be psychiatrists. And that's what they end up happening. Is most of the time they end up being marriage counselors, psychiatrists, and that's
so
not
the business.
If
there was a service there available,
One reason is because sadhus aren't equipped for it. It does require a certain degree of training, which they don't have. And second, it's just often it's too messy business.
Yeah.
It's too complicated. Yeah. It's just not suitable. Why should sannyasis deal with marriage problems?
Everything is so complicated. I work in a school and I'm helping children with special needs, and I find I've got a lot of emotional problems.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I see, you know, now my generation, our generation, and then your generation, and actually she's sort of, is that the generation of youth who's coming now at 17, 18, 19 are so troubled. You know, they've got abuse issues, sexual abuse issues, complete neglect, very, very serious drug problems, so many different types of things that, you know, it's like you're not even talking to a normal person. You know, Krishna consciousness can't solve their problems because they can't practice it. If they got down to practicing it, they could solve it. But anyway, for you, the first thing is you got to save yourself.
Yeah. And that's what I'm working on.
And that's what chanting is all about.
Can I ask just two more questions? One of them is just, as I'm finding like my final year quite hard. So
finding what?
My final year at university quite hard. So I find myself getting quite attached to the results. Like I need to get a high grade. I need to do so well. And then I think, I want to do that for Krishna, but if I'm too attached to the results, I mean, today I was just thinking I should just work for Krishna, and that's it.
What do you mean, work for Krishna?
Just work hard in my final year for Krishna, and if I get a high grade, then I get a high grade. I'm finding it difficult.
Yeah, it's a long time. I mean, working for Krishna means that the result of your work is going for Krishna. Sarva karma pratyagam. You give the result of your work. As yet, you have no particular work to do. But what I would say is simply, you're a devotee. People in university know you're a devotee. Therefore, devotees should do things well, whatever they do. And if you're a warrior fighting a war, then you should know how to fight properly. If you're a student and you're studying, then you should do well. Because devotees should do things well. Whatever we do, we should just take it as a discipline and do it. So just do that well. And that will be both good training for you. You want to go?
She wants to
watch the time. Yeah, go. And you should just do that well. And then when the time comes in the future that it proves that you can actually offer the results of this work, either directly by consultation, either by the fruits of your work, giving money, then you'll be offering the result more directly. But in this way, just do well. I always encourage devotees, they should do well in school. They shouldn't perish in it, but, you know, you should try to do well.
Mm-hmm.
where's the fine line between perishing it and...
Because for some students who are geniuses, for them they can do 100%, not without effort, but relatively easily. But if someone's not a genius and you try and push them, or they push themselves to do 100%, then they may perish. So, you know, they're for university, you know, they're jumping off the towers and stuff like that because they can't stand the strain. So we shouldn't perish in anything. So if someone's not a genius, then he should just do his best. But in the meantime, you know, you should eat, you should sleep, you should stay sane, you should chant Hare Krishna. And so there has to be balance, because this isn't the only place it happens. If you start working out there, you're under the same type of pressure, as people always want more and more and more. And that's the whole idea. You don't want to just have to give more and more. You have to know what the line is. What is it that you're willing to give and able to give? What's the last question?
The last question was just about my chanting, how to sort of be more attentive, and just feel that connection to Krishna.
It's practice. You have to listen. You tune in to hearing the holy name. It's like a radio. You know, the better you're tuned in, the clearer reception you have. So when you're attentive, then the holy name will have effect. When you're not tuned in, then it will have less effect. It requires practice, and the time to do it is in the morning, which means that you need to also go to sleep at a good hour. And I don't know, I didn't personally, in my university years, I wasn't practicing Krishna consciousness, so I tried wedding the two together. But no doubt it's difficult, but that's the best time, is to, and if you have no other time, then just, or no time for anything else, then at least sitting down and just chanting your rounds and trying to put a little quality into that. But certainly last year is always difficult, which means that now in the spring you'll graduate. Okay, well, then you should let me know where you're going to spend your time.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure that one out. I was thinking of taking another year out, coming back to Vrindavan, but at the moment I miss it quite a lot.
Well, it's some place where you get real good opportunities for service and under authority and particular guidance. I don't know, Mayapur may be better for that than Vrindavan.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe working at the Ghost Gurukul or something.
Okay, well, the way you should do it is that this is how you practice Krishna. You walk in, you say, I'm here for a year, tell me what to do. Don't say, I'll come to the girls' Gurukul, or just say, I'm here, just tell me what to do. I've already converted her, may as well sign her up, she's gone. that's how to do it. If you want, you just say, you come in not with, I want to do this, I want to do that. So you just tell me what to do. That's where Krishna consciousness starts. Let's go downstairs. Anyway, we can always continue.